Okay, as they say in Shakespeare, lend me your ears. Okay? I'd like to make a brief summary as to what we've done. Okay? The teacher will, he'll say the topic, he'll say it again, he'll, then he'll repeat it, and then he'll say it a fourth time. Hopefully the students will have it memorized by then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we started off, hopefully you've got a good memory, with what is called the reason for our existence. Why are we here? We're here in this world to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life so as to be happy with Him forever in heaven. Amen? That's why we're here. So everything you do in your life has to be helping you to get closer to heaven. Everything you do. And if there's something in your life that is preventing you from getting closer to God in heaven, you got to change. You got to change. That's called metanoia. That's called conversion. So you might pray over this. What is your major obstacle in arriving at heaven? Pray over that. We all have roadblocks. We all have detours. We all have things or persons or places that are obstacles in arriving at our goal. Maybe you've run an obstacle course. You've got to, you know, jump over these obstacles, these hurdles, no? Okay, then our second class was the Trinity, which is the greatest mystery in the Catholic faith. And the Trinity means we believe in three gods and one person, right? No?
No.
Three gods and one person?
No.
Yes. You said yes? Yeah. Kind of, right? I purposely threw a curveball at you. That means a curveball at you means I tried to see if you're alert. What should it be?
One God and three persons.
Okay, and who are they?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay, so the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three persons in one God. Then we talked about the second person. And we mentioned the fact that he had two natures. I give you a mini course in Christology, right? What are the two natures in Christ? Do you know? You forgot, okay? Carla? Okay, did the divine always exist? How about the human?
No.
When did it start?
When Mary said yes.
Perfect. When Mary said yes, in the Annunciation, then Jesus came to the world through Mary's yes, and then what happened 9 months later? Okay, so he was born in Bethlehem, right? Then last week we talked about the private life of Christ and his infancy. Okay, probably the best way for you to understand last lesson would be through the joyful mysteries. Okay? The joyful mysteries would be the way in which you can remember the lesson. So this would be the private life of Christ, his infancy. And we have the five joyful mysteries. Can I ask you a philosophical question that Karina would probably like, and she's studying at Magdalene, right? Do you think everyone wants to be happy? I think it's a good question, right? It's pretty simple. What do you think? But you probably, one day a week, you get up and say, I want to be sad today. Right? It's Monday, right? I hate Monday. Got to go back to school, no?
Yeah.
No, I doubt it. I think you want to be happy even on Mondays, no?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, here's the next question then. If it is such that everyone wants to be happy, why is it that you have so many teenage girls that are cutting themselves? It's an epidemic the past 10 years. Even some in confirmation. Why are they doing that, no?
Because
see whether or not their blood is red? I mean, I don't think so. Some type of alarm, but that's a sign that they're not happy.
My friend did that. She said she didn't even know why she did it.
But most are some psychological reason deep within her heart why she's doing that. And it's usually a sign of some type of sadness, right? Depression, right? Right? I mean, I think it's common sense, no? So let's follow up in our philosophical sequence. If it is such that everyone wants to be happy, why is it that so many people are sad? Daniel?
You're trying to find happiness in the wrong thing.
You got it. Do you hear what he said? They're trying to seek happiness in the wrong place. And that's why we're here. You can only find happiness in God. You agree with that? True happiness can only be found in God. I just finished teaching a class of about 100 Hispanic parents. I think your mom was there a few minutes ago. And I said this. Father Larry, about 25 years ago, that was before you were born, I think, when I was here only about a year, he told me it's a good idea to have First Communion photos. But the reason, which is probably going to shock you, once I tell you, you're going to say, that's pretty cool. It's because most of the children here receive communion at 8, maybe 9, maybe 10. And if you look at the photo, you can see in the little child, there's joy, there's innocence, there's transparency. But then once he goes from 8 to 19, you look at the photo 19, he's sad and depressed and angry and bitter. So maybe if he compares those two photos, why am I so happy as a little child? And now I'm almost 20, I look so sad. Maybe he'll arrive at the conclusion when he was 8 or 9, he had God. At 19, he gave up God. And maybe that'll bring him to conversion. Got it? I like that. It's cool, isn't it? Understand? But he has to reflect. I was really happy as a little kid. Now, you know, I'm taking marijuana. I'm, you know, hanging out with the kids that are doing bad things. And, you know, I haven't gone to church in a year. I haven't gone to confession. You know, I haven't received communion in 2 years. And look at me. I look sad. I got to go to the psychologist and take these pills for depression. My life is a drag. It's a disaster. Yeah. Conclusion, only God can give us true happiness. Amen? And that doesn't matter if you're 8 or you're like my mom, 88. Doesn't matter. It's irrespective of what age you are, you're called to be happy. You are, irrespective of your age. Because wherever you are, whatever age you have, God exists. But we have to open up our heart to God. What we're trying to aim at here in this year in your class is we're trying to get to know Jesus. But in two ways. Getting to know him intellectually, we're learning intellectually about Jesus Christ, where he was born, what his name is, his private life. Now we're going to move to his public life. But this is what you have to pray for, to go from the head to the heart. Got that? To go from the head to the heart. Let me tell you, one of the greatest gifts I've ever received even when I was small, is that I always like to pray. When I was your age, I had to walk to school. I had to walk 2 miles. That's when the kids were a little bit more robust, huh? And sometime after the snow, it just melted in New Jersey, huh? When I'd walk to school, I would pray two or three rosaries when I was 13 or 14. And it was just something natural to me. Because I felt if I'm walking, I have to walk 35 minutes. Instead of thinking about dumb things, the whole time I like to talk with the Blessed Mother. So I really believe, for me, that was a huge gift. That ever since I was small, I always liked to pray. Now, I started teaching when I was 14 years old. Your age, I started to teach. You know why? Because my mom was pregnant with my brother Jim, and she said, either go to CCD or teach it, and I said, I prefer to teach it. So I started to teach when I was 14. A lot of years. And I've said this once, and I'll say it again. I can teach you how to pray. I'm a nonstop talker. I can go on and on and on. I can teach you how to pray. If you ask me, mental prayer, or Lectio Divina, contemplative prayer, the prayer of Teresa of Avila, of St. Ignatius of Loyola, biblical prayer, I can go on and on and on. I'm not lacking words, and I'm not lacking studies, and I'm not lacking intelligence either. I'm not lacking. But I can't give you the desire to pray. I can't. Sorry. You got to beg for that. You got to beg for that. And if you beg for it, God will give it to you. Hear that? So we're learning intellectually who Jesus is. But what you have to beg for is that you want to go from the head to the heart, such that you want to start to talk to Jesus as your best friend. Amen? Talk to him as your best friend. So I'm trying to form your intellect to fill your mind with the truth. And many authors say that the biggest distance to travel is 12 inches from the mind to the heart. Yep. From the mind to the heart. You know how that can happen? The Holy Spirit. You ever hear the Holy Spirit? Do you ever hear who the Holy Spirit is? We talked about him. The Holy Spirit. He's the one that makes that divine connection between the intellect and the heart. So learning about him, you want maybe starting tonight, at least spend between 3 to 5 minutes talking to Jesus. In the class today, we're going to be teaching you one of the tools that you can utilize to bridge the gap. What is very helpful is in your rooms, all of you should have, a nice picture, painting, statue of Jesus or Mary. Do you? Okay, what do you have in your room?
I have a painting of Mary.
Lady Guadalupe?
Fatima.
What about you?
I have the icon of
Our
Lady of
Lavon. Oh. What? Yeah, because your mother is from Argentina and... Oh, okay, no, okay, look, okay, I'm making, okay, one of your friends, I got it. What do you have, Our Lady of Lavon? What do you have?
I have a picture of Jesus on a cross.
Good. Yeah?
I have a cross above my bed.
Yeah. I have like three crosses, two pictures of Mary and one picture of Jesus.
That's
great. I have a picture of Mary.
Wonderful.
I have, like crosses hanging around, and then I have the Marcus medal.
Okay, you all have a lot of beautiful pictures. Do they help out, those pictures? Do they?
Yeah.
I feel it's enormous. Do any of you have one of the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
Yeah.
Have you ever been in that room? Probably in that room, you see the big painting of the Sacred Heart or the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Well, okay, do any of you have Divine Mercy? Okay, you have that? Does that help out? I find it's enormous because you're looking at that and that looks what Jesus is like and you just see him and you start to talk to him. Talk to him in your own words. If we can arrive at that in these next 7 months, then this will probably be the best year in your life. How do you measure the best year in your life? Getting straight A's. Yankees win the World Series. Yeah. By the way, they're winning now 4-1. Pray for them. No, it's not if the Yankees win the World Series. They probably won't. Or you have a lot of money. Or you're getting straight A's. Or, you know, you're winning all these awards because you're the best athlete in your school. The best year is if you're getting closer to God. You hear me? If you're getting closer to God and Mary, this is the best year of your life. But if you're walking away from him, even though everything might be going well on a human level, intellectual level, sports level, it's a bad year. You got that? Good year is when we're getting closer to God. That's why I repeat, we have to know why we're here. We're here to get to heaven. Right? So if you start to talk to Jesus, and I think we have to be honest. You see some of those Protestant movies, no? That one that we saw came out about a month ago, Overcomer. Any of you see the movie Overcomer? You see it? What'd you think? Great movie, right? Really good movie. But it's done by Protestants. And you just see how enthusiastic they are for Jesus. I mean, they love Jesus. They talk about Jesus. They sing. And the Catholics, sometimes we're lacking the enthusiasm that the Protestants have. Right, Eric? If you look at some of those movies, they're on fire, they want to talk about Jesus, they're the best friend, they're going out, they're trying to evangelize the whole world. And then we as Catholics, what religion are you? Oh, don't ask me. You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid to talk about Jesus. If you love someone, you want to make that person known and loved, right? Yeah. Amen? So what has to happen is your relationship with God has to go, it has to go from the head to the heart. And now Pope Francis said it has to go from the head to the heart to the feet, too. Like Mary, have to bring Jesus to others, right? Amen? Okay, so we're going to be passing out our worksheet, and we're going to be working on another chapter in our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right, Eric?
Yes. Yes, Father.
Tomorrow we celebrate the American martyrs, Daniel. There were martyr there in upper state New York, Orrisville. Isaac Joes, Jean Brebeuf, René Goupil, Jean Lallemand. They were all trying to convert the Mohawks and the Iroquois and the Algonquin Indians, and they were martyred for Christ. Okay, so let's start. That picture is Jesus with John Bosco?
No.
Okay. John the Baptist, not John Bosco, no? Okay, the title is Jesus the Savior, His Public Life on Earth. Jesus is true God and true man. He is the Son of God made man. He is the incarnate Word. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus is the center and focal point of human history. Think about this. He divided the calendar into two parts, B.C. and A.D. You ever think about that? Interesting, right? So you've got B.C., which means, right, before Christ, and A.D., ad Domine, if you know a little bit of Latin, which means from when the Lord came. So it's divided into two blocks of time, that one person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Indeed, Jesus should be the center and focus of our life in time and in eternity. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you remember maybe it was 10 years ago, you were just small, but maybe Lauren remembers this. Remember when the young people used to have those bracelets that had WWJD?
Yeah.
Remember that? I think it was before their time. But maybe when you were maybe 7 or 8 years old, almost all the young people had those. You still sell them? I guess not. They're bracelets that have WWJD. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
What would Jesus do?
Perfect. Perfect. Now, if you're ever in a situation at school or sports and you don't know what to do, you should stop and ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this circumstance? Got that? And not what's going to make my friends like me more. Peer pressure, right? Some people got peer pressure. And the thing is, often we think, I want to do something so that my friends like me more. That's not always God's will. You have to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Mary do? Is Jesus going to be happy with this? If you can say yes, then do it. Even though you might ruffle the feathers a little bit with your friends. Okay? You might tambalear la barca, as they say in Spanish. Huh? You might rock the boat a little bit. Huh? Got that? Okay, next. From private life to public life. We have already learned the basics of the private life of Jesus from his birth up to 30 years of age. Now it is time to turn our attention to what is called the public life of Jesus. Okay? Let's say our prayer. You ready? And say the prayer. Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a good prayer, huh? I wrote it. Okay, number one. How long did the private or hidden life of Jesus last on earth? It lasted most of his earthly life, and it would be... What? 30 years. Mm-hmm. Do you have to prepare yourself for life? Do you? Do you? Do you have to be prepared for life? Or right after you finish, you know, your ninth grade, you're ready to just go out into the world, you're ready to just... No, you've got to prepare yourself too. What you should be thinking about even now is you're going to go to college, right? You're going to go to university, right? You're going to get a degree, right? You're going to get a profession, right? Yes?
Yes.
Then get a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Amen or oh me? Amen? Amen? Threw a curveball at you, huh? Huh? You weren't expecting that baby, were you, huh? So you heard me now. Because some of your friends, no visita, qué bonita, no. Hold your horses, Lupita. Hold your horses, Lupita. Go to college, get your degree, get your profession, and $20,000 in the bank, and then maybe look for your future noviecita. Or, hey, maybe become a priest. Some of you guys think about maybe one day some of you guys and become a priest. You're a priest in 20 years, you'll be able to, like Father Larry, you'll be able to push me around in a wheelchair, huh? You'll be able to order me. You'll be my superior, no? In 20 years, I'll be 83. That's pretty old, isn't it, no? So what was Jesus doing? Jesus was? Praying. Listening to his parents and obeying them. Now, I know that all of you love to obey your parents, don't you?
Yes.
Ah, Grace, right? You know, I have a niece, her name is Grace. Do you know what Grace means? I could give you an acronym. Are you listening? Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen? You like that? You're a good one, huh? God's riches at Christ's expense. Good acronym, huh? I like acronyms. How long? Okay, then Jesus was taught by St. Joseph, his earthly father, the art of being a carpenter. This he carried out with perfection until he was 30 years of age. Try to imagine Jesus and Joseph coming back from the carpenter shop. How do you think they were? You think they were tired? Sweaty? You think they were dirty? You think they had sawdust in their hand? Do you think that they had a weak hand grasp? I think if they grabbed your hand, it could have been like a wrench. Ow! Oh, wow. Now, they wouldn't do that because they're very gentle, right? I imagine they were probably very strong. He's a carpenter. He had to lift these huge planks. They had to lift tables. They didn't have an electric saw because Thomas Edison wasn't even born, right? They had hammers and saws, and they were probably very strong. Are you strong? It's important that we develop our bodies. We have strength, no? Proper eating, no? Right? Proper rest, proper exercise, no? So I'm really strong on this because we have a lot of immigrants here. And I think like in Vietnam and Mexico, they don't insist too much upon sports. But here, you have so many different sports. So all of you should have at least one sport. And I'm not saying tic-tac-toe or, you know, badminton or, you know. You're playing poker, no. Something that's going to be, you know, getting your body engaged. There's a real epidemic of young people that are overweight. Did you know that? There were so many problems in the past 30 years of obese, is the word? Of overweight children, no? So obese means you're fat, okay? Right, is that right? Right? Yeah. So it's good for your body and your soul to do exercise, right? One day I'll take you out to the field to see who can hit the baseball hardest. Who do you think is going to win? Who's going to win?
You.
Have you seen me?
Yes.
Can I hit it hard?
I can.
Into the skies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's even when you're in your 60s or 70s to be engaged in sports. My brother's a doc. He's a back surgeon, and he says even with back problems, you got to move. Okay, just sitting there, you stagnate and you start to atrophy your muscles. So make sure that you're active physically, mentally, and spiritually. Amen. Got that, Eric? Okay, how long did his public life last?
3 years.
Okay, lasted 3 short years. In a short time, Jesus transformed the world. His public life lasted from 30 to 33. That's incredible, isn't it? Well, in 3 years, Jesus changed the whole world. Changed the whole world in 3 years. What a powerful influence, right? At the end of your life, what would you have liked to have left to the world? Now think about that. You're dying. What would you like to have left to the world at the end of your life? Can I tell you? If you become a saint, you're going to be leaving the love of God to the world. That's the most important thing in the world. Amen?
Yeah.
So all of you become saints, you will have left the love of God to the world. Even after you die, your presence, your holiness is going to be influencing the world even after you die. Like John Bosco, like John Paul II, like St. Faustina, like St. Clair, like Kolbe. Okay? All these people, they've died, but even their presence now is among us. Amen? Even their presence among us now. Is there any place where we can learn about Jesus' life?
Yes.
Maybe you've heard this before. How do you know that Jesus exists? I usually ask, how do you know George Washington exists? Did he exist or not? How about Lincoln? How about Shakespeare? Yeah, Shakespeare didn't exist. That's just a pious legend of the 16th century, huh? Did he exist? How do you know that George Washington exists? Because we have documentation. We have historical documents, right? Of course we do. How do we know that Jesus existed? Now, that's the next question. You got it. Because you're going to hear some people at college, Jesus, that's just a myth. He didn't really exist. So this number is going to give the response. We don't have just one document, nor two, nor three, but even four. Okay, is there any place where we can learn about Jesus' life? Yes, most especially in the reading and meditating on the four Gospels. The four Gospels. Yes? Great. Did you hear that? Very good. So write them in there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Do we write it on the same line?
No, don't you have four different lines here? Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, next to Matthew, what I want to do is I want to have you write two things. If you ever read a spiritual book, if you're reading a spiritual book, are they going to be writing the whole Matthew, or what are they going to be writing?
Chapter
10. Perfect. So you're not going to be seeing in spiritual books the whole name Matthew. You're going to be seeing MT. Nothing to do with MTV. Nope, MT. Okay. How about Matthew, Mark, what is it going to be? MK. And not Mickey Mouse either. Okay? M-I-C-K-E-Y, Mickey Mouse.
Luke is L-K.
L-K. It's going to be J-H?
J-N.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, next to that, I would like all of you, I want you to know how many chapters you have in each of those Gospels. Matthew has... You're a walking spiritual library. A word of wisdom, huh? No, come here. You're faking ignorance. No? Okay, 28. Mark. You know, don't be afraid. You know it, right? Okay, you're on the very tip of your tongue. 16. Luke. By the way, Carla, do you know whose feast day we celebrate today?
Oh, yeah.
St. Luke. Who? St. Luke. So today we celebrate the feast day of St. Luke. It's his feast day, St. Luke. 24. And finally, the last gospel. 31? Nope.
32.
Nope. Are you asking me or telling me? You're asking. Okay, 21. So if you read a chapter every night, by Christmas you'll have read all the Gospels. Almost. Yeah, more or less. By Christmas you'll have read all the Gospels. And each chapter is usually about 25 verses. Some are longer, some are shorter. You could read through it in no problem 10 minutes. But you want to stop to meditate upon it. And use that God to be able to talk to Jesus. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One last point. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. Do you know what that means? They're the same. Basically the same content. Where John is different. John was written about 30 years later and is written to the early Christians. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and see basically the same topics. With John, very different. Do you know what the symbol is for John? What's the symbol of the United States?
Eagle.
So the symbol for John is the eagle. Because his thoughts soar high. They're mystical thoughts. Okay, let's... Yeah, that's the symbol for John. Let's move on to the next one. The word gospel means... good news. So if your name is Evangelina in Spanish, that means good news. Evangelina in Spanish means good news. So Evangelina comes home to her mother, even though she got bad grades in school, still her name means good news, even though she's bringing bad news home. Okay? Evangelina. Okay, like Mary meditated, how can Mary teach us? A lady pondered, reflected, meditated on the Word of God in her most pure and immaculate heart. For us to get to know and love Jesus, we should read and
meditate
upon the Gospels every day. Read and meditate. Meditate means to think seriously. Not superficially, but seriously. Okay, Jesus, in his public life, which lasted 3 years. He carried out basically three activities. And they were preaching, teaching, miracles that he performed, and you ready? Exorcisms. Exorcism doesn't mean jumping jacks or calisthenics, okay? That's not... exorcising, exorcism with an O, not an E. Okay? Which means casting out devils. Casting out devils. How do you think, what do you think is one of the best tactics the devil used to tempt us? Can I tell you? Okay, when we're in the state of desolation, you know what that means? What does that mean? What were you going to say?
It means like when you're feeling most away from God. Like when you feel abandoned from God, like when you're hopeless.
Good. You going to say something? You didn't say the most simple word, when you feel kind of sad and depressed. When you feel sad and depressed, that's desolation. That's usually when the devil tempts us most. And he looks for our kryptonite. Ever see Superman?
Yeah.
He looks for our kryptonite. Our weak point. No. You got that? So when we're in desolation, that's when we're all tempted. And the devil tries to present us certain things that are wrong to fill up our vacuum or sadness. What we have to do, we have to turn to God in that moment. Seek our refuge in the heart of Jesus and Mary. Amen? Yeah? Got that?
Yeah.
All right. So a little bit of Ignatian spirituality is surfacing here. Okay, preaching. How did he preach? Okay, Jesus preached with authority, unction and power. He moved many hearts away from sin to conversion. He moved many hearts to love and serve God. A central block of the teaching of Jesus can be found in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Did you know that the Sermon on the Mount was very radical? Jesus said this, you have heard it said. They used to say eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, if someone smacks you on the cheek, what did Jesus say? Pretty radical, huh?
Yeah, gnarly.
Wow. Someone asks you to walk 1 mile, Daniel? Walk two. Someone asked for your jacket, give them your shirt. Pretty radical, huh? Radical means very different, huh? Very different and very hard, no? Remember once Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she was begging money for the poor, and there was a really rich man in front of her, and she stuck out her hand for the poor, and the rich man spat in her hand. And she said, thank you, that was for me, now give to the poor. And the guy was so shocked that he pulled out and he gave her money. Yeah, true story. Yeah. Spat in her hand, she said, thank you very much, that was for me, now give to the poor. What would you have done? Probably, no? If you a knee-jerk reaction to give the guy a black eye or send him to the dentist, huh? For some dental work, huh? Probably. But you see how holy this woman was. She was putting into practice the Sermon on the Mount. Okay. So, where did he teach? Okay, he taught in many places. He taught in the synagogues, and he taught in the Temple of Jerusalem. Anyone know who built the Temple of Jerusalem?
Solomon.
Solomon, who was the son of David, right?
Yeah.
So he taught in the temple in Jerusalem, and also on the shore of Galilee. Sometimes there were so many people following him. He was preaching on the shore right near the lake. And follow up on this is even in the boat of Peter. Because they were crushing in on him, and he said, Peter, let me get in your boat. So from the boat, he was preaching to the people from Lake Galilee. Cool, huh? Yeah. So he preached in many places. Okay, now we have arrived at one of the most fascinating things in the life of Christ. It is miracles. Look at this. Are you ready? I'm waiting. Come on, let's go. Let's try to do it once more. Come on, come on. Oh, once more. I was expecting the law of gravity to be suspended, but it didn't happen. Okay? Now, if I were to go like this, and all of a sudden it would be suspended in the air, that would be a miracle. Because that's defying what is called the law of gravity. What goes up has to come down, right? It's not going to work. I can't work miracles, no? If I were Padre Pio, it might work. No. What I'm saying is that Jesus would sometimes suspend the laws of gravity and do miracles. Okay? And the purpose was that because he preached and people didn't believe him. He said, if you don't believe in my words, believe in my miracles. Because only God can work miracles. Got that? Okay, so what are miracles? They are supernatural acts. Not natural, but supernatural acts done by God, Jesus himself. So why did Jesus perform miracles? Okay, he performed the miracles so that the people would believe in him. This is what he said. If you do not believe in my words, at least believe in my works. Only God can work miracles. Even when Padre Pio or St. Francis, they performed a lot of miracles, but they would always say, it's God that performed the miracle. He just used me. It's God that carries out the miracles. Right, Angela? Yep. Okay, why did Jesus perform miracles? Look, only God can work miracles. Let's move on to number 11. Can any of you name any of the miracles of Jesus? off the top of your head?
Oh,
what?
The wedding at Cana.
Okay, what happened at the wedding at Cana?
He made the water into wine.
He turned the water into wine. Okay, that's a great, his first miracle.
He multiplied the fish and bread.
Okay, the loaves and the fish. Another one, good.
When he walked on water.
Walked on water. You're going to say that? Yeah.
When he calmed the storm.
Calmed the storm, good one.
He healed the widow's son at
Nain. Okay, she actually died, didn't he? Yeah. What he died and he brought it back to life.
Lazarus,
what happened to him?
Resurrected.
Okay. Anything more? How about those guys with the skin disease? Do you have one? The what? The leopards? I thought I heard the big cats with the spots on them. The lepers. Yeah. Right, that was the gospel about 3 weeks ago, right? Only one came back. Sometimes he would actually just say, go, and they were healed on the way. Other times he would actually touch a leper. Would you like to touch a leper?
Yeah.
What would be the danger? It's contagious, right? If you touched it, you had an open... It's kind of like AIDS, the AIDS virus today. It's kind of like if you touch the leprosy with an open wound, you could get the leprosy. But Jesus not only would not get the leprosy, he would heal it. That's a miracle. Okay, so let's move on. So the miracles over nature would be the following. Changing water into wine, this is number 12, at Cana, and walking on water, multiplying the loaves and the fish. Calming the storm at the sea. Okay, some of the other miracles. Okay, curing the lepers, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. Did you hear me? Speech to the mute. Also, healing the paralytic, healing the man with the withered hand. Okay, healing a woman had a constant blood flow. And three times you record that Jesus brought someone back to, well, yeah. Okay, 11, thank you, okay. Okay, miracles over nature and miracles curing human bodies, okay? Okay, so let's go down to the number 13. Three times it's recorded Jesus bringing back to life the dead, the daughter of Jairus, the son of the widow of Nain. Finally, what was considered the, number 13, the greatest miracle of Jesus, before his own resurrection was the raising of Lazarus after he was dead for 4 days. Remember that one? Buried for 4 days. Jesus goes to the tomb. They move the big stone. Jesus says, come out. And this guy who's buried for 4 days gets out. And he starts to walk. And he brings him back to his sisters, Mary and Martha. Okay, exorcisms. How did Jesus perform exorcisms? Jesus expelled the... devil or the devils who had entered into the bodies of individuals. Okay, legion, this would happen. Jesus crossed over the lake to a place called the Decapolis, and there was a guy who was in the tombs who was possessed by many devils. And he was chained, and he would break the chains, and he would gash himself with stones. So Jesus comes, and the guy says, let me go into the swine. Let me go into those pigs over there. And Jesus said, go. And all these devils rushed out of this man and entered into these bodies of these pigs. Then they rushed over the hill and they drowned. If you don't believe me, read Mark 5, 1 to 20. I'm not making it up. That was the most powerful exorcism. It's not one, but legion means a whole army. Okay? The Roman legion. So there are many, many, many. We really see the power of Jesus, right? Okay, so a man was possessed by many devils, and Jesus expelled all the devils from the man. They entered into the pigs grazing on the pasture and hurled themselves off the cliff, thereby drowning. The man was cured totally by the salvific action of Jesus. I've often thought, what would have happened when the man who owned those pigs came back and saw those pigs drowning, no? I've often wondered about that, no? They were dead, no? And Jesus is saying that one man is worth more than all the pigs in the world, right? One human person, right? Okay, why did Jesus... Okay, well, who did Jesus call to help him in his public life? Okay, he called helpers and friends to be with him in his public life. Jesus called how many disciples? 72. So he chose 72 disciples and 12 apostles, okay? Okay, let's see now. What does the word apostle mean? Did we? Okay, 16 would be he had power over all, okay? Power over all. Okay, so let's go to 18. What does apostle mean? You're a Greek scholar, are you not? It means sent, okay? It means sent. Jesus chose 12 apostles to be with him as his, like you, as his close friends. And then he sent them out to preach and teach, to perform miracles and to exorcise devils. Okay, let's get the 12 apostles. You know all the 12 apostles, right? Do you? Okay, let's write them down. Peter. James. John and Andrew. Those were two groups of brothers, right? And they were fishermen, right? And then we've got... Nope, two Jameses. Then after Andrew, you got Philip. Then you got James the Less. Then you got Matthew. Then you got, who was the doubter?
Thomas.
And then the one that begins with B and is sometimes with N, it's kind of hard. Bartholomew. They also call him Nathaniel. Okay? Then you got Simon the Zealot. And you got Jude, St. Jude Thaddeus. Any of you know the one that betrayed Jesus?
Oh, yes.
What was his name?
Judas.
Okay, Judas, and his last name was?
Iscariot.
Judas Iscariot.
Judas Iscariot.
Iscariot. Not scary one, but Iscariot, okay? Okay, Judas Iscariot. Could he have been forgiven?
Yeah.
He just had to tell God he was sorry. He could have been forgiven, right? Yeah. Okay. Where did Jesus live during his public life? This I find to be fascinating. Do you have a home where you live?
Yeah.
Or do you live underneath the bridge? You know that Jesus for 3 years didn't have any home. 3 years. He was like a traveling preacher. Where we slept and lived in that, we don't really know. He didn't have any set abode or home for 3 years. How about that? And what's the message? So actually Jesus had no permanent abode during the course of his public ministry. He said, foxes have their holes, and the birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus had no set home for 3 years. How about that? So the lesson is called to trust in God. Do you trust God?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I think not totally, but we have to try to trust God more and more, right? Okay, so we learned a lot in an hour. It's the public life of Christ. We're going to say our closing, yes. Say it louder. Number 12. Number 12 is water into wine and walking on water. Okay, let's say our closing. Yes.
Devil.
Really, it's the same, but I put devils. There are many names for the devil. Okay, let's say our yes. Second under 12, what's the second one? Walking on water. Let's say our closing prayer to Mary, and then we'll go hopefully to church. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The blue sheet. Mary, my queen and my mother. give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. Consciously this day. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mother, as I am your own. Keep me in garden as your property and possession. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you and have a great weekend. Okay?
Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye, Father. Have a good night.